I'd like to speak to you for just a few moments this afternoon on this theme, a devoted leader, a devoted leader. We're beginning our last chapter, as you know, in the book of Philippians, as we've been going through somewhat verse by verse for quite some time now. And so we have just one more of four chapters to cover, and looking forward to it. Probably the favorite chapter for me in the book is chapter number four. And so, but it's been a great journey thus far. As we begin looking at verse number one here, we see this, the very first word, as you can see it, is the word therefore, which connects us back to chapter number three. I've said this several times, when the Bible was written, just as a help to all of us though, when the Bible was written, there were no chapters. There were no chapters. Those have been added in maybe to help with reading and maybe to help with organization, but really it was just all written. There were no chapter 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and so forth. And so when we see this word therefore, and many times this is the case, the chapter divisions are not inspired. The words are inspired, but not the chapter divisions. And so many times we have to just ignore the number 4, 3, or whatever it is there, and look back to verse whatever ended verse chapter 3 in this case. And so, again, I believe the emphasis here that Paul is trying to give as he begins chapter number 4, at least in the way it was divided up for us, was, hey, don't get your mind off of eternal things. Don't get your mind off of what is to come. You know, it's very easy for us to live our life only concerned with today. Now, that is all that we have, yes, but if we're only living for now, I believe our growth in Christ is going to be greatly limited. As a believer, I am living my life for the honor and glory of God. I am living my life for eternity. I'm not living for this world's goods. I'm not living to stack up as many possessions as I can here. No, I'm trying to send things ahead to the Lord in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. And so I believe the attention here is once again, remember where your citizenship is as a Christian. Your citizenship is in heaven. Now, we're going to look at this one verse. We will turn to other passages of Scripture. But in this one verse, we find some great personal admonition for the people at Philippi from Paul. And that's what we've been seeing in numerous times as we've journeyed through this. And there's application for us to make this afternoon. So let's take a look at this outline. Number one, we see, as we look at this verse, Philippians 4:1, number one, we see Paul's affection. Paul's affection. Hold your place in Philippians and turn with me to the book of John. The book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's in the New Testament, the last of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And go with me to John chapter number 10. Paul's affection. Paul's affection. John chapter number 10, verse number 11. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. Now, that's not a very good shepherd, is it? Shepherd's supposed to take care of what? Sheep. And, you know, one of the predators of a sheep is a wolf. And so the shepherd here sees the wolf coming. This is not a shepherd. This is a hireling. But he sees the wolf coming, and it says he fleeth. Of course, when a wolf comes into a group of sheep, the sheep aren't going to look at the wolf and say, hey, how's it going? If they do, that wolf probably be out of there in a heartbeat, because I don't think sheep talk. I don't think that sheep would want to get and have bosom buddies with a wolf. As soon as the wolf comes in, out go the sheep. But that's the job of the shepherd. The shepherd is supposed to be there to protect the sheep. The shepherd is supposed to be there to care for the sheep. The shepherd is supposed to be there to nurture the sheep. That's what Paul is doing here in Philippians 4:1. We see his affection for the sheep. We see his affection for the Christians at Philippi. Letter A, we see a godly devotion. A godly devotion. More than likely, Paul had shared the gospel with many of these people. More than likely, Paul had shared Jesus Christ with many of these people. He had introduced them to the Savior. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Can you think about it with me for just a moment? Don't raise your hand or out loud, but just think about it right here in the noggin. Who introduced you to the Savior? Think about it. Who introduced you to Jesus Christ? Who told you that Jesus Christ was God's Son? Who told you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? By the way, that's because that's what Jesus Christ did. Who told you that Jesus Christ loves you? Who told you that Jesus Christ was buried and 3 days later up from the grave he arose? Who told you that Jesus Christ is now interceding on our behalf between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the mediator that we have? Think about those people. Maybe there's more than one person. Maybe there's many people. But someone told you about Jesus. Someone gave you a Bible. Boy, the best thing somebody we can give someone, someone had the privilege yesterday of delivering a Bible to someone's home. Think about that. There is no greater book to deliver to someone's home than the Bible. It's the book that will change a life. It's the book that will transform someone who is headed to hell and transform them to go to heaven. Because in the Bible, we find the message of the gospel. In the Bible, we find the message of hope. In the Bible, we find the message of peace. In the Bible, we find the message of eternal life. And I believe the Apostle Paul was someone who was devoted to the Lord. Yes, he was someone, though, who had given them the gospel. Why do we know that? Why do we think that? Because he says, my brethren. My brethren. These were not strangers to him. These were not people that he was not acquainted with. There was a special bond. At least I'm imagining a special bond that was clearly seen. A bond that was established. Now listen to this thought. A bond that was established not by Paul. A bond that was established not by the people. It was a bond that was established by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I mean, think about it today. Think about it today. What is the bond that glues us together? What is the bond? What is it that keeps us together? It's not a what, it's a who. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we have the privilege, that some people are having the privilege. The Nelsons are going to go to the Philippines. Brother James, first time in the Philippines. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I've been there. I enjoyed it. All the balut you can eat, brother. Come on now. Get into that. All the balut you can eat. Okay. He's having a rough time down here already. He's going to have a great time, but you know what? They're going to go over there. I've been there. Many of you are from there. Maybe you visited there. I'm just using that as an example. I've had the privilege of going many places in this world, and I thank God for it. And it wasn't for necessarily a holiday, but it was a holiday. It was a great time. But I got to go visit missionaries and represent the Lord Jesus, represent Anchor Baptist Church. But you know what? Every time, as soon as we hit the ground, and as soon as we got a little bit of the formalities out of the way, hi, how are you? You know, just kind of feeling each other out, and quickly, you know what? There was a bond immediately. Go into that church, and maybe I couldn't even say five words to them. They couldn't even say five words to me that I would understand. But there was a smile, there was a wave, there was a handshake, there was something, and it wasn't mysterious, it wasn't spooky. I know exactly what it is. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's in that believer and the Holy Spirit of God that's in this believer, and there is a special bond, there's a special affection. Dearly beloved, he uses that phrase two times in the verse. I want to encourage us this afternoon, there ought to be a special bond amongst the people of God. There ought to be something that keeps us together. Look, the devil is all about dividing and conquering. Pastor Nathan mentioned it a moment ago, and I echo that. The devil wants to divide the family and conquer. The devil wants to divide a marriage and conquer. The devil wants to divide parents and children and conquer. The devil wants to divide brothers and sisters in Christ and conquer. The devil is all about division. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is us to be co-laborers together with him to reach our community and our world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see a godly devotion. There was a longing here, I believe, to be with the family of God. Remember where Paul is when he's writing this. He's not in an office with a beautiful couch and a desk. He's under arrest. He's writing in prison. House arrest, quite possibly, but he's under arrest. He doesn't have his freedom. I believe there's a great longing as he's writing this to be with the family of God, to be with the people of God, to be together, to maybe, you know, you see somebody in the back of the auditorium, you know, and praise God for this great group of people here today. I give God the glory for that. But maybe not every Sunday do you get to shake everybody's hand, but maybe you get a chance to wave to someone, and maybe you see somebody in the back and you wave to them, or you do get a chance to greet somebody. I mean, there's a bond between believers. There ought to be. I wonder, do we have that longing? You know, do we have that longing? You know, when you know, if you're ever sick and you have to miss church, you know, there's something about missing church to a believer. It's like, I'm missing something valuable. I'm missing something important. By the way, being in church is important. It's God's house. This is God's assembly. I am a pinky. You are a pinky. Maybe you're a pointer finger, a thumb, or something in the economy of God. We're part of it. And that's exciting. And when we're not able to be amongst God's people, there ought to be something that says, boy, I sure miss that. A longing. A longing. I think that's what we see here in this one verse. Well, I want to ask you a question. Are we committed to seeing spiritual growth in our lives? Are you committed to seeing spiritual growth in your life? But by the way, can I ask this? Are we committed to seeing spiritual growth in the lives of others who are part of this church that we assemble in or that we're a member of? It's not a matter of just that I want to grow in grace. I want Brother Barry to grow in grace. It's not just that I want to grow in grace. I want Brother Oscar to grow in grace. It's not just that I want to be in church so that I'm there. I want to see you here. I want to fellowship with you. I want to encourage you. I want to see the brethren. And that includes the sisters too. Family of God. Do we have that devotion, that godly devotion? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, I love the first three words, the first three words of 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Why don't you turn over there quickly? Turn over there quickly. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Just the first three words will minister to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. If somebody beside you doesn't have a Bible, show them your Bible, because everybody needs to see the Bible. The power of the Word of God should never be belittled. It is the power. God's word's powerful. Notice the first three words of 1 Corinthians 1, 9. I think I have the right reference. Would you say them with me? God is faithful. Stop right there. Well, I tell you what, isn't that encouraging? God is faithful. Hey, sometimes we're not faithful to one another, but God is faithful. Let's finish it. By whom ye were called unto the what? Fellowship. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In other words, we are here today because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our life. And he continues to do in our life. Why? Because God is faithful. So we see number one, Paul's affection. Letter A, godly devotion. How about letter B? We see a godly eagerness. A godly eagerness. We said this earlier that Paul is under house arrest in Rome while he's writing it. There is a longing for Paul, I believe, to be with these people once again. Let's look at a couple of other texts quickly. Turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 8. We looked at this several weeks ago. There's a godly eagerness. And we really already covered this, so we'll just mention it quickly. A godly eagerness, Philippians 1, 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. I long after you all in my bowels, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I long after you all. I desire to be with you. Godly eagerness, number one, for fellowship. And we mentioned that already. For fellowship. Oh boy, the fellowship of the family of God. Again, I won't belabor that. We mentioned that already. Turn over to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, Philippians, and let's look at verse 17. I believe there's a godly eagerness, number one, for fellowship. Number two, Philippians 4:17 says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit. Fruit. I believe there's a godly eagerness for Paul to see in the lives of the flock, remember, in the lives of those who he's writing to, he doesn't just want to spend time with them and drink a coffee with them, although there's nothing wrong with that. He doesn't want to just get together for tea and biscuits. He doesn't want to just get together and talk about sports or whatever, the latest this or that. And I believe there is a desire for Paul, in Paul's heart, for those who he is influencing, that they would bear fruit. Can I say that as a pastor, I'm not everything I need to be as an under-shepherd? I've still got to grow in grace, Brother Alex. But I will say this, I enjoy fellowshipping with the family of God. I enjoy sitting down and talking to you men. I enjoy sitting down in the proper setting and talking to you ladies. I enjoy being with the family of God. But I'll tell you this. If I had to choose between the two, I'd rather see fruit in your life than have a cup of coffee with you. Now, I believe we can have both. But if we have to pick and choose, I'd rather see you have fruit in your life. I'd rather see you grow in grace. I'm talking about growing. I need to grow too. Okay, I need to get a hold of God more. But here I see an eagerness in the Apostle Paul for fellowship, for fruit. Let's look at number two. Number two, we see Paul's motivation. Paul's motivation. First, we saw Paul's affection. Secondly, we see Paul's motivation. Letter A: the ministry brought joy. Isn't that the theme of Philippians? I think one of the themes that we see all throughout Philippians is joy, joy, J-O-Y, down in my heart, joy. We're coming to that famous verse, Philippians 4:4. We'll be there maybe the next time on the Lord's Day. That the ministry brought joy. Here's something to consider. Paul didn't get his joy out of his circumstances. He was chained to a Roman soldier writing this epistle. He didn't get his personal joy out of circumstances, things going on around him, such as criticizing Paul, such as what he speaks about in chapter number 1. He had very difficult circumstances in his life. He never gave much thought to them, but he found his joy, in people. And he found his joy in the people that he loved and that loved him. Look at that in verse number 1. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy. Wow. What a shepherd. How about this statement? Seeing someone who is lost, not on their way to heaven, and they are given the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember I said right at the beginning, think about that one that gave you the gospel. Think about that one that introduced you to Jesus Christ, whoever he or she is or they are. By the way, they did more for you by introducing you to Jesus than anyone could ever do for you, financially speaking. Somebody could write you a $25,000 check. Now that would be a blessing. But if you had a $25,000 check in your pocket and you were on your way to hell, I'm sorry, that $25,000 isn't going to do you any much good at all. But if somebody introduced you to Jesus, when somebody introduced you to Jesus, they were introducing you to a priceless gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God gave us Jesus Christ. What a gift! For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2:89. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. Oh, God has given us a great gift. And oh, to give the gospel to someone, or to see someone come to the altar on a Sunday and say, I want to be saved. To give someone the gospel and the light, if you will, spiritually speaking, comes on in their eyes. You can see it and they say, I want to be saved. I want to get Jesus. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm sorry. I really don't know. I really don't know where you can find a better place for joy than seeing someone who was on their way to hell is now on their way to heaven. And I believe Paul is thinking about people in Philippi that he's writing to, that he could see in his mind's eye people that had come to Christ as Savior. In fact, I would say, I wrote it right here in my notes, in fact, this joy is hard to find anywhere else than seeing someone come to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14 says, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours, you are our rejoicing in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul's motivation. What motivates you to continue to serve the Lord? What motivates you to continue, Dad, to lead your family to church? I tell you what, one motivation ought to lead you. If your kids are not saved yet, you ought to be praying every day for your children to be saved. Keep leading them. Keep bringing them to church. Keep reading God's word. Keep praying for them. There's no greater joy than to see your family, whether it's a child, whether it's a husband or a wife. And many of you might still be praying for a husband or a wife of yours to be saved, or a son or a daughter. Don't give up. Continue to pray for them. We have prayed for many that have come to know Christ. We must continue to pray, because there's no greater joy than to see someone come to Christ. And by the way, if that someone is related to you, one is all that matters. Oh, praise God for the hundreds and the thousands and the tens of thousands. But when that one is your husband, or that one is your dad, or that one is your wife, or that one is your adult son, or that one is your teenage daughter, that brings great joy to a heart. If that one is your friend, that coworker that you've been praying for, if that one is someone that you've known, you went to high school with them, and you somehow come across them. By the way, nothing happens by chance. Nothing. God ordained you to be here today. Praise the Lord for that. God ordained me to be here today. Praise the Lord for that. God ordained us to see numerous visitors. Thank you for coming. It's all of God. It's not of me. Oh, but when we see God work, do you know what it does? This morning we prayed for some of you. We have a men's prayer meeting on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. I'd like to invite you men. It's for all men to come. It's for teenage young men to come. It's at the church office. And I want you to know, we prayed this morning for some of you by name that are here right now. We brought your name to the Lord, and you're here. You know what? That brought joy to see you walk in the door. Some of you walked in the door, and 3 hours ago or so, we prayed for you. You know what that did? That brought joy. Wow, praise the Lord. God answered prayer. Not that God doesn't answer prayer, but He answered my prayer. How much praying are we doing? You know, the more praying that we do, the more answers we're going to get. The less praying that we do, the less answers we're going to get. It's a matter of arithmetic. Everything we ought to be praying for. Everything. Oh, let's keep going. Paul's motivation. The ministry brought joy. Letter B, the ministry brought a crown. You see it there? It brought a crown. My joy and crown. A crown. What is a crown here in this text? A crown in this day was a wreath or a garland which was given as a prize to an athlete. These were not trophies in a trophy case. They were a reward for Paul's faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Would you quickly turn over with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you haven't heard me say it, I'd like to repeat it. If you've heard me say it, repetition is the key to learning. Every Christian is in the ministry. Did you hear me in the back? Every Christian is in the ministry. This isn't saying Paul was in the ministry and nobody else was. If you're a Christian, you're in the ministry. So the ministry brings joy. I'm not saying this is about Pastor Turner only. It's for all of us. So when somebody gets saved, all of us rejoice. The ministry, us, we're in the ministry together. We're co-laborers together with God. Isn't that great? God is, we are together with God in the ministry. We're not alone in this thing. Praise God for that. I want to ask you this. This crown that Paul is talking about, in relation to that, as you're at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, can I ask you this? Who will be in heaven? Who will be in heaven because of our faithful service? Now, I'll tell you this. The answer to that is, I don't really know. I don't really know. But I know this. God, it says in the Bible that it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. I don't know who's going to be in heaven because of Anchor Baptist Church. I have no idea. I'm not worried about the number, by the way. That's not the point. The point is this. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Because the longer that we're faithful to the Lord, the more that we're growing in grace, as Paul said, you are my crown, my joy, and my crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope? For what is our joy? For what is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? He's saying, you being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming, that is my joy. That is my crown. That is my rejoicing. For ye, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica here, for ye are our glory and joy. Oh, I think about that here this afternoon. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought salvation and made it available. What a day it will be when our Jesus we shall see. What a day it will be when we drop this robe of flesh and we rise to seize the everlasting prize. What a day, glorious day that will be. I hope you're there. Because seeing all of us there, I hope and pray. Paul says that brings a sense of joy. That brings a sense of rejoicing. We see Paul's affection. We see Paul's motivation. And lastly, he's going to give some advice. Number three, Paul's advice. Paul's advice. Letter A, stand faithfully. Notice the two words, stand fast. Stand fast. What does this mean? It means to persevere. Means to persist. It means to keep one's standing. Stand firm. Remember, he's writing under arrest in Rome. Paul gives a command here. Really, we can. I'm not trying to change the way God wrote the Bible because that would be crazy of me. But he's saying, in a sense here, continue. To quit is to not stand fast. To turn back is to not stand fast. To stand fast is to stand firm. It is to be spiritually stable. That's why we have a Bible, to stabilize us. This is why we have a Bible, to help us to stand firm. This is the anchor, amen? This is the anchor. We've got to be anchored in the God of this book, this Bible. When's the last time we opened God's Word and said, God, speak to me? I have a challenge. By the way, this is how God speaks to us. In 2019, don't be expecting God to speak to you audibly if you never open this book. I'm not expecting God to speak to me audibly either way, but I'm just saying, many people are looking for something, you know, like who was it? What king was it in the was it Naaman? Not a king. Remember Naaman in the Old Testament? He was expecting Elijah to come over there and smack him over the head. Do something emotional. I'm really kind of giving a major Turner translation here. But no, it wasn't the emotion that it was going to heal Naaman. What was going to heal Naaman is to obey what the prophet of God told him to do. And the prophet of God said, go down to the Jordan River and dip in that thing, and here's what's going to happen. When you dip in that Jordan River 7 times, you're going to be healed. The Jordan River was not known for its pristine water. It wasn't known for its crystal clear water where you could look down and see little fishies swimming around in it. At the men and boys camp out that we went to a few weeks ago, I remember Brother Kim was over there fishing on one of those rocks, and this big rock, and he's fishing, and he said he could actually see the fish nibbling at his bait. Let me tell you, in the Jordan River, wouldn't have worked that way. You might have seen things floating around. You might have seen all kinds of stuff. It was one of the dirtiest of the dirty rivers, but you know what? It doesn't have to make sense to obey God. Just obey God. What I'm getting at here is God has given us His Word clearly over and over again in the Word. God has helped us and given us principles that this is what's going to help us to stand. This is how God wants to speak to us today. You don't have to wait for Sunday for God to speak to you. It's Tuesday night, 11 p.m. And you have a burden on your heart. You know what you ought to do? You got to go right to this book. I've got a burden on my heart. I need God to speak to me. And after you finish reading this book, you need to go to prayer. That's how you speak to God. That's how I speak to God. Very simple. So Paul says, letter A, stand faithfully. He gives a command. Don't stop. Don't quit. 3 quick things. Number one, stand against Satan. I'm not going to turn to these references, but if you want to jot them down, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, stand against Satan. Now, don't think for a minute that you're going to whip Satan. He's going to run and scared of you or me. He isn't. The devil's not scared of me. The devil's not scared of you. Okay? But with this book right here, called The Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we can have victory over our enemy anytime. We can stand against the wiles of the devil. We can say, we can get this book out, and this book right here, I'm telling you what, you open this book up, the devil's trying to discourage you, the devil's trying to bring depression into your life, the devil's trying to defeat you about your past and all of that, the devil's bringing up all kinds of things. Look, you can stand against the devil with this book right here. You can stand against the devil by memorizing this book right here, hiding God's word in your heart. Psalm 119, 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Stand against the devil. You know what? Satan is ready and willing today to defeat you. He wants to destroy every saved man and woman in this room today. You have a testimony. And Satan wants to destroy your testimony. He can't have your soul if you're saved, but he sure would like to destroy your testimony. Oh, stand against Satan with the Word of God. Number two, stand fast in service. I've been greatly encouraged the last couple of weeks, and I appreciate and thank everyone here who helps in every little way. Believe me, little doesn't mean insignificant. Because a lot of littles add up. The Greg and Amanda would appreciate that, right? Anyway, a lot of littles add up. It is Amanda, right? Did I get the wife's name right? Okay, good. I heard there was some quizzing going on last week at the ladies' meeting, and so I've got to work on that. Although I'll never be at one of those to have to be quizzed over. But anyway, the last couple of weeks, we've had some extra help at 2 o'clock, and we need that. And you know what? God's allowed us to expand. And I'm just going to say this right now. We really need to get the church van back on the road. Can I just say this publicly? The church van has been sitting in my driveway for a year. No insurance on it. We need to get that van back on the road for helping pick people up. Today we had 3 different cars picking people up. Not complaining, but I'm just saying there's a need. Would you pray with me about that? If you have a valid Class 4 license, we could use your help. If you're willing to get a valid Class 4 license, hurry up and get it, because all this ride-sharing coming to Vancouver, you're going to have to get in line to get your Class 4 license. We have a van. As far as I know, it'll start, hopefully. Really, we need to use that van. It's sitting in my driveway. Mold is growing underneath it, okay? We need to use that thing. But I'm thankful for everyone that does anything for the Lord at Anchor Baptist Church. Praise God for that. Stand fast in service. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is the verse. Number three, stand fast in suffering. Suffering. Quickly turn over to 1 Peter. I do want us to see this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Stand fast in suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Like, it's shocking that I'm going through a tough time. No, it's not shocking. It happens to everyone. But God's there with us. Don't forget that. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Verse 13. But rejoice. What? No, I can't rejoice. Yes, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with what? Exceeding joy. Why? Because of suffering. Because we're suffering with Christ. Again, co-laborers together in suffering, all right? Stand fast in suffering. Letter A, stand faithfully. Letter B, stand confidently. Notice the words, in the Lord. I'm not standing in Pastor Turner. I'm not standing in my own flesh. I'm standing in the Lord. This is how we're supposed to stand. Number one, we're supposed to stand in His strength. In His strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Stand in His strength. Isaiah 40:31, we shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint, they that wait upon the Lord. Stand in His strength. You know, it's very easy to stand in our own abilities. The older that we are in Christ, the temptation is to stand in our own abilities. Not good. We need to stand in the Lord and in His strength. Secondly, stand in His word. I think we've talked about that. Hebrews 4:12. This one verse reveals once again the heart of the Apostle Paul for the people that he's ministering to, even while under house arrest. He's greatly motivated by seeing their lives changed by the power of God and His word. Paul is greatly interested, though, that they continue. As I close this message, I close it with a question. I wonder this afternoon, who are we praying for? That God's power would change their life. You know, does anybody here know anyone? You know anyone in your life that is not saved? Raise your hand if you know somebody that is not a Christian. You know somebody that's not a Christian. That's probably everybody. Let me put your hand. You know what? Only the power of God. Only the power of God can bring someone to Christ. Who are we praying for? Needs to be saved. Let me admonish you. Start praying for them again if you've stopped. Secondly, who are we mentoring or discipling to continue in the faith? Who are we mentoring or discipling to continue in the faith? By the way, you do not have to sit down with someone for an hour a week to encourage and mentor someone to continue. It might be in a five-minute conversation at church on Sunday. It might be in an email that you send to someone. It might be in a text message. It might be simply going to God and praying for someone that's saved, but they're not growing in grace and they need to be. As I read this one verse, every time I read this verse, and I read it obviously repeatedly throughout the week, and I know it's only one verse, but again, I'm trying to sense Paul writing it under house arrest, saying that phrase, my brethren, my dearly beloved, twice, dearly beloved. Paul had a great level of love for these people. And he wanted to see them stand in the Lord. He wanted to see that when the enemy came, they would say, you know what? I'm standing on this book. I wonder today, how's God speaking to you right now? If you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? If not, in just a moment, the piano will play. We'll have an invitation. Would you come? I'm spiritual. I'm a good person. That's not how you go to heaven. Possibly God is speaking to your heart about something else. You're saved, yes. You know you're saved. But God's speaking to you about something else.